Rabbi Zwecker on Jewish meditation. Okay. So I was debating whether or not we should learn this at all, but I figured, you know, the last time we had a class, so we talked about the, I don't want to call it the conflict, I call it the machlokes between the shita of the Baal Shem Tov and the shita of the Vilna Gaon. And someone told me afterwards that I spent much more time on the Vilna Gaon, and it sounded to them like I was pushing more for the Gaon shita than I was the Baal Shem Tov's. And how could that be? I'm so chassidish. So that gave me the impetus to try and speak more about chassidus tonight. So why did I call it Jewish meditation as opposed to Hasidic meditation? So I'll tell you, there's two reasons why. I could have called it Dafka Hasidic meditation, because that's the what we're going to be learning tonight is from a Hasidish Sefer. But there are two reasons I would call it Jewish meditation rather than Hasidic meditation. A lot of the things that the Kesa Nehora is based on are found in other Sfarim, including Reb Chaim Vital, who was, of course, you know, much earlier than Hasidus. And besides which, one of the unique things about the Kesa Nehora is one of the Haskamos it has.
What's so, Kesa Nehora?
I'm getting to it. So let's talk about what is the Kesa Nehora. So there is a Siddur which many Hasidim used. Everybody calls it the Berditchev Siddur. It is not from Berditchev. It wasn't printed in Berditchev. It has nothing to do with Levi Yitzchak from Berditchev, really. Why is it called the Berditchev Siddur? That's a good question. It doesn't have a good answer, except for the fact that the Siddur was printed in a different city. I don't even remember which city it was, the version that we have was printed in, and on the bottom it said, like it was printed in Berditchev, and they put that in big letters. So that became known as the Berditchev Siddur. The Berditchev Siddur is really made up of two different things altogether, and that is a siddur called Tefillah Yashara. It's not clear whose nusach the Tefillah Yashara is. As we spoke about last week, the nusach Harizal that we have nowadays, or otherwise known as nusach Sfar, there's many versions of it. I would guess that there are at least between 20 and 30 different versions that are in use today among different Hasidim. Besides the Nusach Arizal that the Chabad calls Arizal, all the different Nuschaos of Sfarad are actually versions of Nusach Arizal, including the Nusach of Edus HaMizrach that the Sfaradim daven with. They're all variations on the same theme. So the Nusach that's used in the Tefillah Yashara is quite unique. It's much more similar to Nusach Ashkenaz than it is to the Nusach of Sfaradim. The only Hasidus I know that uses the actual Nusach in this Siddur is Tzanz. Otherwise, the Boston who had the minhag to use the Siddur, but not to daven with the actual Nusach from it, and we'll explain why in a minute, wrote in his Akdama that he researched the Nusach and he believes it's from the Abdera, from the Oyev Yisrael. Be that as it may, that's the Nusach of the Siddur, the Tefillah Yashara. But the Perush, for lack of a better name, commentary on the Siddur, the Kesa Nehora, has nothing really to do with the Nusach of the Siddur that's printed. It's sometimes they don't even fit each other. But for some reason, the person who printed them decided to put them together, and ever since then, they've been put together. This Siddur was extremely popular among the earlier tzaddikim. In Tzanz, they used it, like I said. Afterwards, the Satmar Rav, because he was a Tzanzer Inikal. In Satmar they used it, they used it in Advorna, they used it in Boston. Many, many Hasidism used the Siddur. It was extremely popular. But many, many Hasidism had their own Nusach HaTfila, and they did not change to the Nusach used in the Tefillah Yashara, which I mentioned is much closer to Nusach Ashkenaz and to Nusach Hasfardim that we're used to. The author of the Perush, Kesa Nehora's name was Reb Aaron Cohen from Zelichov. Okay, he authored many Sfarim. The most famous one of the Sfarim that he authored was really not his Sefer, it was really a Likut, and that's the Kesa Shem Tov. The Kesa Shem Tov is a well-known Sefer Chassidus. It's probably one of the earliest and best sources we have from the Torah of Baal Shem Tov. And that was put together by Rav Aaron. Rav Aaron was Zoiche to four Haskamas, to his Perush. And they were from four great Tzadikim, three of them of the greatest of the Chassidus leaders in his time. And they were the Levi Yitzchak from Berditchev. He's probably the only connection to the Berditchev Siddur, that to the Berditchev, the fact that he gave a Haskama to the Perush in the Siddur. What's his name? The Kashin Tzir Magid, okay, the Avodah Yisrael, and the Choyzer from Lublin. Three of the greatest Hasidic Rebbes all gave very, very, very excited Haskamas, Haskamas Nilhavas, as we would say in Lashon Kodesh, to the Siddur. I'll just read you some of the things that the Berditchev says. For example, Hine Hera Lefanai Rab Aram in Bulgaria. That's where he was. Bulgaria is not Bulgaria. It's a name of a different area. Siddur al pi kavanas shvisi Hashem. Right, the kavanas that are in the siddur are based on shvisi Hashem. Right, the pasuk says shvisi Hashem. I place God before me at all times, and already in the first siman in Shulchan Aruch it tells us that we're supposed to do that. It's a halacha. It's a gepaskin halacha in Shulchan Aruch, the first siman that we're supposed to do. That we're supposed to place God's name before us at all times. And the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch already discusses how we do it. It discusses the famous minig that the Sfardim have to write shvisis, to write the name of Yudke Vavke. They have it in a lot of shuls in this country, especially the older Batei Knesset in Yerushalayim. You'll have in front of the Amud, a Shvisi, and it says Shvisi Hashem Neged Summon, and it puts Hashem's name. Either it puts just Yud Kei Vavke, sometimes it puts it with the Shiluv, right, Yud Kei Vavke, and inside Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, which is based on the Zohar. And it discusses in the Shulchan Aruch whether that's a good idea or a bad idea to do it, because sometimes the letters could get erased, especially back then they used candles in front of the Amud, and that's why they used to put it behind glass, etc. Okay, so that's the Shvisi. So we know it's a mitzvah, it's a halacha psuka that we're supposed to do this, Shvisi Hashem Neged Summon. And he says, "Ludati hu tov meod." I think it's a wonderful thing he did, and he wrote this commentary. Yuchlu machmadim. It's full of wonderful things. Kol hakavanas shebisidurim in kodesh. All the different kavanas that exist in the sidurim are kodesh. V'zois hakavanas shel shvisi Hashem hu kodesh kadoshim. So the Bedichever says that all the kavanas in the sidurim are holy. But this kavana, this concept that the Reb Aaron came out and made in the Kesson Hora is kodesh kadoshim. It's on a much, much higher level. Okay? Shekulu Yiras Hashem. It's all full of the awe and fear of God. V'kibul O Malchus Hashem. And accepting the yoke of heaven upon ourselves. V'roma Muskel. And, you know, raising God, sublimating up into the highest worlds. V'hamlichas Hashem B'shamayim V'aretz. To crown God as King over heaven and earth. V'ar Baruchos Olam. And the four winds of the four directions of the world. V'hu Cherev Pifios. And this is like a double-edged sword to cut down the klipos, to cut down the forces of darkness, to purify the world. And there was several different praises said about the Raya Mehimna, the Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's the section of the Zohar which Moshe Rabbeinu supposedly teaches us concepts in the Zohar of deep, deep secrets. And the Raya Mehimna, that's the faithful shepherd, that's Moshe Rabbeinu's teaching about Kriya Shema and Baruch Shem Kvo Machuso, that they have wonderful things there. V'kol Shekem B'Sidur Zeh, and if that's the case, what the Zohar says about the power of saying Shema Yisrael, Bim Yachad Shem Hashem, by saying, unifying God's name in Shema, and Baruch Shem, Kol Sheken Sevedichever, Kal Vachomer, all the more so in this Siddur, Shukulo Nisiyased Al Kavanazu, because the whole Siddur is based on this concept of putting God's name before us. Al Ken, Ani Maskim, Lat Pisa, I'm obviously going to agree to print it, and he writes the Haskama back then, Haskamas, I told you once, were more of a Cherem. You know, this guy only has rishus to print it for 10 years, no one else should print it. And that was really the purpose of the Haskamas back then. But you see, the Bidshiver was extremely enthralled with the Siddur. The same with the Koshin Tzir Magid and the Chois. I'm not going to read theirs because they have the same type of Lashonis. What is Kedai to read is the fourth Haskama. The fourth Haskama is extremely surprising because it's also from the Rav of Lublin, not the Chois. The Rav of Lublin was known as the Eisner Cup, the Iron Head, because he was so harif, he was so tief, his learning was so strong. And his svaras were so strong. And he was an extreme opponent of the Choze and an extremist nagad against Chassidus. So it is a very big chiddush that he writes a haskama to a Chassidish Hasidur. Not only is it a big chiddush that he writes a haskama to Chassidish Hasidur, it's an even bigger chiddush what he writes in the haskama. So I'll read it to you. So he writes like this: Tov asa betoch amav Reb Aaron Mizalachov asher hera li sidur bekavanos shvisi Hashem vehem kavanos al pi pashut. The kavanos in this sidur says Rav Israel, he says they're alpi pshat. They're not soidas, even though they're based on Kabbalistic ideas, as we'll see. Rav Israel Horovitz, the Eisner Cup, felt that they're pashat. They're not dangerous things. Ki hagam ki kol sidurim in kavanoseim tovim. All the kavanas in sidurim are good. Why? Why are they all good? Lachbosha machshava hatruda lishiyabuda kavana. It's important for you to think about something when you're davening. Why? Because we all know that when we daven, our minds wander, because we get used to davening, and we daven three times a day, and we use the same nusach atfil except on Shabbos three times a day, every day of the year, and it becomes rote. And as much as we try to have kavana, if we don't have an anchor, if we don't think about something, just saying the words usually isn't enough. It becomes an extreme struggle to have perush amilus, to have just enough kavanah to understand what it is that we're saying, because we're so used to what we're saying. So the Rav Israel Horowitz is saying to us that it's important to learn commentaries about the Siddur, because the more commentaries we study about the Siddur and the more kavanos we have, even if they're pashut kavanos in the Siddur, it will anchor our thoughts. If we're thinking about what it is that we're saying, oh, it means this, and I heard this pshana, you're not thinking about a bunch of other things that your mind would wander to think about, and so therefore it's considered very, very worthwhile to know kavanos about the Siddur. Ach hem kavanos amukos. But the problem is, says Rizriel, that a lot of the kavanos printed in the Siddurim al pi sod Kabbalah. Right? We have kavanos from the Arizal and from the Rishash and all these things, and they're full of all kinds of sodos. Vilav kol mocha savuldan. Not every mind can handle those types of kavanos. It's not for the average everyday person. Ach ha kavanos ha'ele. However, says Rizriel, the kavanos found in this Siddur, shel shavisi Hashem, v'yiras Hashem, v'avas Hashem, to place God's name before me, and to fear him and to love him, hachiyuv l'kol adam l'kayim hayom, kol yom. There's a chiyuv for us, right? If we know, if we study in the Mishnah Berurah, Mishnah Berurah, also in the first simanim there, I believe it's in the Bir Halacha, if I'm not mistaken, he tells us about the mitzvos tmidios, right? There's a certain mitzvos that we're supposed to have in mind all the time, and the Mishnah Berurah paskins at Halacha that these are mitzvos tmidios, and among them are loving God and fearing him. These are mitzvos that we're supposed to think about all the time. Okay, they never leave us. So these are mitzvahs, says Rav Israel, that we're supposed to fulfill anyway all day long. Even when we're not davening. Especially, all the more so, when we're davening, we're supposed to have these things in mind. Okay? And just like the B'ditchever said, the kavanos that we're talking about here are based on the Tikkun Ezor and the Raya Mehimna, the Sifri Yireim and different Sifri Musar, like Rav Chaim Vital Sefer Shari Kedusha. Ve'ein ze bechal ma shekasu Magen Avram. You should know, says Rav Israel, I'm paskening for you the word the Magen Avram paskin in Simen Tzadi Ches, Sif Katan Aleph, in the name of the Zohar, right? Kol Banash the Asli Yachda, then not every person that wants to come to Miyachad Nichudim is allowed to do it. We're not all on the level to be Mekubalim and do all kinds of Kabbalistic things. However, says Rav Israel, I don't believe that these kavanas fall under that category, meaning that they're not what we were talking about. That's the problem. Says the Magen Avraham, a person who can't handle the right level of Yiras Shemayim and the right level of understanding kavana shouldn't have kavanas of Shemus and Yehudim in his mind at all. Says Rav Israel, that means you shouldn't use like the Siddurim of the Arizal, but to fulfill the pasuk having God's name before me at all times. Kol Adam Kol Hayom, says Rav Israel, this is a chiyuv for every person every day, as it says in Shulchan Aruch, like we said in the beginning of Shulchan Aruch in the first siman. V'lachen yos machshav es ha'adam b'iras Hashem v'avas Hashem kasev sefer achinuch la'ra'a shechiyuv and tmidi, like we mentioned in the Mishnah Berurah that he quotes from the sefer achinuch. Lo yepasku min ha'adam afilu rega echad. There's not even one moment that we're free from that mitzvah. Mikol yemechai, from all the days of our lives. U'betehilos ne'mar kol neshama tehalal ka. It says that all our soul should bless you, and Chazal said, "Ten hilu al kol neshima." We should praise God with every breath we take. V'chen kabbalah sol malchus shemayim, in accepting God's yoke upon us. Tnan, we learned, "Eini shomea lechem." Rabbi Shim Gamliel said in the Gemara in Brachos, "I don't." Right? They said to him, "How could it be that you're chassan? The chassan passed from Kriyashma. How come you're saying Kriyashma?" That's the Mishnah there. So Rabbi Shim Gamliel said, "Eini shomea lechem levatel many o malchus shemayim filu sha achas." Gamliel said, "Listen. Maybe a Pashat Chasen he can't have, but I'm not listening to you. I am not being Mevata O Machu Shemayim Afili one second for myself." Therefore, the Siddur doesn't fall under the category of Kabbalah. Okay? Alken ani omer, yasher kocho v'chelo, lahad b'Yisrael l'cho bar Yisrael, liyo yisro le'ezo l'smoch liyos mizake es harab. Okay? So, a very, very excited, happy, praise-filled haskama from a Misnagid to a Chassidish Siddur full of kavanos, saying that the kavanos that are in the Siddur are pshat, they're a chiyuv, they're a mitzvahs esa, they're a raisa, they're a chiyuv that we have every single day with every breath that we take. Bekitzer, that's why I call it the Jewish meditation. Yes, it's Chassidish Sefer, yes, there's Chassidish Haskamas, but with a Haskama like that from such a well-known Misnagid, how can you call it exclusively Chassidish? Okay, so let's understand something about this Siddur. So Rab Aaron If you ever open the Siddur and try to learn it as a Perush, you will be extremely disappointed, okay? Because it's not a Perush Amilus of the Siddur. Therefore, the only proper way to ever learn the Perush of the Siddur is to learn the Hakdamas. Unfortunately, and I don't know the reason why, many of the Siddur were printed without the Hakdama. I cannot urge you enough that when you learn Sfarim, you should learn the Hakdamas to the Sfarim. The Mechabrim of the Sfarim wrote the Hakdamas for a reason. The introduction of the Sefer always introduces the Sefer, and many times you will find extremely important instructions from the Mechabrim of the Sefer in the Hakdama. Okay? There will be plenty of times the Mechabrim will tell you, I want you to learn the Sefer this way. This is how I meant it to be learned. And in this case, it's extremely important because the Hakdamas that the Baal Kesson Hora wrote to his Perush on the Siddur are the only way to understand what it is that he's trying to accomplish. Because if you open up the Siddur and you look underneath the different parts of the Siddur, you will see that he divides, like we spoke about, the concept of Ziras Hashem and Avas Hashem and Tehillos Hashem and Kabbalas O Malchus Hashem, those four, fear of God or awe of God, love of God, praising God, and accepting his yoke upon ourselves. But you will see that he really stoops it into the words. In other words, he's not taking the pshat of the Siddur and explaining it al pif pshat. He really tries many different ways to divide the Siddur into those four, and it doesn't always fit the pshat. Okay? So let's try to understand what it is he's trying to do. We're not going to be able to go through the whole Hakdama tonight. We're almost up. But I wanted to learn with you just the first letter, because I believe the first letter of the Hakdama has the most interesting and the deepest types of visualization techniques that can aid anybody in davening. Okay? So let's learn the first letter. Hakdamas inyan pirushe kavanos shel ha-siddur hazeh. Introduction to the pirushim of the kavanos that are found in this siddur, which are, as we said, Yiras Hashem, Ve'avas Hashem, Tehillos Hashem, and Kabbalas O Malchus Hashem. There are four kavanos that a person should have, and we mentioned it, again, from Sefer HaChinuch and the Tzaka Lacha, that we are mechuyev to have these kavanos in mind all the time, not just during davening, and they are actually mitzvahs eseh deraisa, and that is to fear and be in awe of God, to love Him, to praise Him, and to accept the yoke of His kingship upon us, okay? Umashe kosev v'yichaven ki'ilu medaber b'ruach ha-kodesh. And I write in the Siddur over and over and over again that you should have in mind when you are davening as if you are speaking with Ruach HaKodesh. What does that mean? So yesh lafarish da'achi perush. I'm going to explain to you what I mean when I say that. Ki b'chol avodas Hashem, in the beginning, at b'tchalos avodas Hashem, tzarech l'hakdim yiras Hashem. In the beginning, before you do anything else, the first step to davening and the first step to avodas Hashem is always to fear God. Right, that's the first gate with which to enter. Like it says in the pasuk, "V'ata Yisrael Ma'ashem Lokecha Sholem Imach Kim Liyiras Hashem." What is God asking from you? To fear Him. K'aydei midas Yiras Hashem hayakol ha'atzilus ve'abriya ve'etzira ve'ha'asiya shel ha'olamos. All of the creation is through Yira. Yira means tzimtzum in this case. We spoke about the tzimtzum a bit last class. And that was the concept of that Kadosh Baruch Hu, when He created the world, He fills the whole world with His glory. Therefore, in some level that we don't understand, He had to be mitzamtzum. He had to sort of constrict or contract His glory in such a way. That's the concept of Yira. The Sfarim, the best example, the best mashal I've seen in the Sfarim is that when a person's scared, when a person feels awe, he naturally constricts himself. Right? When a person's afraid, he does that with himself. So the fear and the awe of God constricts us, and that's the power that HaKadosh Baruch Hu used in the creation of the world. Therefore, that's the beginning point. Just like creation is the beginning point of everything. V'alakim ases adam shiira milfanav. And God made us that we should fear Him, it says in the Pasuk. And the Zohar teaches us, yesh kama pekudim b'yiras Hashem, that there's different mitzvahs that attach themselves to Yiras Hashem. V'ayidei midas Yiras Hashem, Yered atzilus shekol kavana sazmiros v'atfila yia kavana al tikuna oilam. And the concept of davening is to fix the world, like we say in the end of davening, like we say in Aleinu, letaken olam b'malchus shaka. The purpose is to fix or rectify the world, the kingship of God. And therefore, having this in mind connects to that. Ikur tikuna oilam. The Ikr Tikkun is when we reach the level that's called the world of Kulo Shabbos in the future. Chazal told us if we were zeichet to keep and safeguard two Shabbos, we would be immediately redeemed. We know that the Geula will come about through Eliyahu Mashiach. Right, Eliyahu comes to tell us that Mashiach, and Mashiach is the one who brings the Geula. Amen. Alkein. Therefore, you're now going to tell us the concept of connecting ourselves to Eliyahu and Mashiach in davening. So you should be mechaven in the shame of Yudkei Vavkei. Now, the whole concept of this Siddur is it's Shvi Hashem Negdi Samid. And therefore, the Siddur, by the way, is one of the first earliest Siddurim where Shem Hashem is printed full. Instead of printing Shem Hashem with two Yuds, which was very common and is common still today in many Siddurim, the Shem Hashem appears in this Siddur every place full. And that is considered a very important thing. Right? The Beditshuver was, what he was saying was, that's an important thing here. It says about the Rebbe of Melech that once somebody asked him why he davens from the Nusach HaRizal, and he said, you should know I'm not mechavim the Kavanos in that Siddur, but I daven from it because there Hashem Hashem's name is written completely. So it's an important thing to have in mind, Shvi'i Hashem Negdi Samid, to see God's name before us at all times. And if it's printed in the Siddur, how much more easier it is for us to see it, because it's printed there instead of just two Yuds. And therefore we should see the letter Yud, Yechavin Yud, and the first letter Yud is Yiras Hashem. When we see the letter Yud in Hashem's name, it's supposed to remind us of fear of God. And that corresponds to Atzilus. Atzilus is the first emanation from God. Shekena Matzil Ubedibur Bevchinas Rotzon Umachshava. Right, when a Kadosh Baruch Hu brings the world about, he speaks b'dibur and b'ratzon and b'machshava. Shu b'sod ein lebchinas dibur. So this is Kabbalah stuff. I'm skipping it. Okay, I'm going to go straight to the next concept that he says. And when you take the letter hey together, we know that it says about the letter hey, b'dvar Hashem shemaim nasu. That refers to the letters yud and hey together. That the Kadosh Baruch Hu created olam haz and olam haba with the letters yud and hey. So when you see the hey, that refers to avas Hashem. That's the next kavana. And that's what it means by Mashiach. He says, he quotes, Aru im anane shmaya. He arrives with the clouds of heaven, right? Kibar inish, asi v'ad atik yomaya mati. He comes like a man, and he reaches the level of atik, the level of atik yomin, the level of the creation. Atik yomin, it refers to, in the Kabbalah, refers to one of the earliest partsufim, one of the earliest spiritual worlds that existed in the time of creation. And he explains what this means about why is the Zohar telling us about the concept of Mashiach coming with clouds. Shiachavim lekadesh es hasefer. And that begins the first visualization that we could have when we're davening. You're holding a siddur, right? You're holding a siddur in your hands. Ki'ilu hagvilin hem esh levana. Imagine that the siddur, it's white, the paper is white. So imagine, the Zohar teaches us, and the Midrashim say that God created the world black fire on white fire. The letters of the Torah were black fire on white fire. So this is, imagine that the parchment, that the letters, sorry, that the page, the paper of your Siddur is like a burning white fire. K'me'esh levana, v'hem k'etzem ha'shamayim, and they're like the heavens themselves. Va'osios hem'esh shechora, and the letters, the ink of the letters on your page is like a black fire. V'hem anane shemaya, and they are like the clouds of heaven. Okay, so the first visualization we're having when we're davening is that our siddur is on fire. It's on a bursting white fire. It's a bursting white flame, and all the letters are a dark, bursting black flame on our siddur. Okay, and not only that, but the siddur itself is like heaven. It's like the heavens, like a beautiful blue sky, and all the letters are like clouds floating in the shemayim, floating in the heavens. Okay, that's our first kavana, our first visualization of davening. Like Chazal said in the Midrash, Sheha'anan hu esh. Chazal explained that the anan is like esh, that's why the two things go together. V'hu k'mo shekasavti, b'parshas baloscha, he has a sefer also on Chumash, and he writes there, Maisa menorah, mikshazov. What was the story about the menorah? B'tchira haisa menorah mikshazov. He explains that the menorah was made of gold. Right, it was physical. Zav gashmi, ve'achar kach ha'yedei yichudim mekavanoso shel Aaron, kemarei shehera Hashem es Moshe ken asas menorah. He explains what does it mean kemarei shehera Hashem es Moshe asas menorah. That the menorah was made later into the way that Moshe was shown. And Moshe was shown a vision of the menorah. He wasn't shown a physical menorah. Obviously, he was shown a vision. So he explains that the menorah was made physically out of gold, but through Aaron's kavanos, it became something totally spiritual. Just like Moshe saw. Moshe saw a vision. The menorah became a thing that transcended, it became a supernatural creation. Even though the menorah was made initially out of physical gold, but through the kavanos that Aaron put into the menorah, changed itself and became a supernatural creation that was totally spiritual. And he says, that's what we're doing with our siddur. Right, we're taking our siddur, and through the kavana that we're having in the our visualization of making the siddur into black fire and white fire, into clouds in heaven, we are transforming our siddur into something totally spiritual. We're sublimating our siddur. Okay, if this isn't an interesting type of kavana, I don't know what is. Can you imagine holding your siddur and your siddur doesn't stay a book; it becomes a fiery tool to daven to Hashem. It's an unbelievable type of kavana. Okay, that's what happens, he says, with the menorah. By the way, that concept of the menorah, I don't know if you've ever seen the Sfardi Siddurim. We have a minig like this also, by many Chassidim, is that when we reach, if you dive in Nusach Sfard, you have it. If you dive in Nusach Ashkenaz, it's not in the Pesukah de Zimra. But in the Pesukah de Zimra of Nusach Sfard, we say Lemenatzeach, before we say Baruch Shamar. And many have the minig to say Lemenatzeach in the Tzura of a menorah, like this. It's found in all the standard Sfardi Siddurim right before Baruch Shamar. Even if you don't daven Nusach Sfar, it's brought in the Sfarim that it's a very big segula to recite this capital Tehillim L'Menatzeach in the shape of the menorah. The Sfarim bring down that a person who's zoichet to recite it every day, it's considered in Shemayim as if he lit the menorah in Beis Hamikdash. So I think that's a very nice idea. Those of you who say it after Sfiras Omer, it's also a good idea to say it in this surah. And if you are saying this mizmor, whether you're saying it as part of your Pesukah de Zimmer, whether you're reciting it after davening to be fulfilling this wonderful school that we said, it's as if you lit the menorah in Beis Hamikdash. So such a kavanah is so nice. Obviously, you can take this kavanah that we just spoke about the siddur becoming something that's burning on fire, and extrapolate to the concept of what he taught us about the menorah becoming from a physical menorah into a spiritual menorah. To have that in mind when you're reciting the capital tilm about the menorah is even a deeper concept. To take the menorah that you're reciting and imagine that you are lighting the menorah based on Migdash, and it's being transformed from gold into something yichudim and kavanas. It's an unbelievable concept. Okay.
Does he advocate during Shmona Esrei using the siddur instead of closing your eyes because of that?
I would imagine that his matar is that you understand what it says in the siddur, and that eventually you would be able to have it in mind without having to look inside all the time. Okay. In general, most of these kavanah, I mean, this is a hakdama. You can't be looking at hakdama when you're davening. You're obviously supposed to learn these ideas, internalize them, and then use them at will to, you know, excite yourself to daven, anchor yourself with your thoughts so your thoughts shouldn't wander, bring in some deep meditational ideas into your davening to make your davening meaningful. If you find that opening your eyes during davening is a distraction, I would recommend that you close them. And definitely that you should study these things before davening so that when you daven, you could have them in mind with your eyes closed. Obviously, some people have told me, I once met somebody who says to me, how can you daven with your eyes closed? I have no kavanah if I'm not looking in the siddur. So everybody's different, and such a person obviously should daven with his eyes in the siddur. And like I said, everybody's different about that. It's a personal preference. Okay, we're skipping a bit ahead. Va'osios she'omer v'lomed o'mispalo. And when you learn letters, even when you're learning Gemara, even when you're learning Torah, when you're learning Chumash, you're learning words and you're davening them. Yechaven kilo osios hemanonei shmaya. Now we're going back to the concept of the clouds in heaven. So you have in mind that these letters are like clouds. What are the clouds doing? What's the meditational picture, the visualization that we're having about the clouds? Ha'ananim nosim es ha'torah v'atfila. The clouds, your Torah and Tefillah rest on these clouds. U'porchim, and these clouds fly. And where do the clouds take your thoughts? Where are they taking you? To Eretz Yisrael, to Yerushalayim, and to the Beis HaMikdash, and finally to the Shara Shamayim. So there's four places we're going. If you take a look in some of the Sfari Siddurim, some of the Sfari Siddurim actually print these four kavanas before Shmona Esrei, where you're taking your three steps back. And they are, again, Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim, Beis HaMikdash, and Shara Shamayim. Right? So then the person, no matter where he is, if he's in Eretz Yisrael, if he's not in Eretz Yisrael, no matter where you are, you're taking your three steps forward, you're going from Eretz Yisrael to Yerushalayim, to the Beis HaMikdash, finally to the Shara Shamayim, to the gate of heaven itself, where Yaakov had his vision, right, with Jacob's ladder, with the angels going up and down. That's Shara Shamayim, that's the gate of heaven, that's where all our tefillos go through. So the clouds that we are having in mind, that's the letters of our davening and the letters of our learning. So now we have a kavanah for learning also. That when we're learning the words of Torah, we can have the same type of kavanah as well. That the letters are being like clouds traveling through Shemayim, and they're going from Eretz Yisrael to Yerushalayim to the Beis HaMikdash through the gate of heaven, where in Mitzvah Shem, hopefully they'll be accepted on high by Hashem. This is all the kavanah of loving God. When we love God, when we have the kavanah to love Him, all these things occur. Because anything that is uplifted and goes and rises above is the concept of loving Hashem. When we love God, we uplift things. Uchmosha HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Chazal taught us, Min kol dibur she'HaKadosh Baruch Hu nivra malach. Right? It says in Pirkei Avos that every mitzvah we do creates a ministering angel that advocates on our behalf. That's what I'm looking for. Advocates. And every word that we speak creates a malach also, words of Torah and words of tefillah. And these are like the clouds that are bringing up our teachings, okay? So now we have a few different visualizations. Now we spoke about Mashiach, what about Eliyahu? So it says about Eliyahu, Navi says, Rachav Eish V'susei Eish. When Eliyahu and Navi was nifter, he went up into Shemayim, his whole body. He went into Shemayim completely. He wasn't buried. Eliyahu Navi became an unbelievable Bria in Shemayim. Some Sfarim say became the Malach Matat. Al Kapanim, whatever it is about Eliyahu, right? He ascended into heaven in a chariot of fire. So that type of visualization of Eliyahu ascending into a chariot of fire, he's using that also. So Eliyahu was in a chariot of fire with horses of fire. So what do we do? Yal Eliyahu Besara Shemayim. Eliyahu rose to Shemayim in a great fiery chariot. So if you look in my Sefer on the Torah, he says, again, in Parshas Noach, the Zohar says, Asvan Kisusvan, V'tamim V'nekudos Kemesek V'resen La'osios. That the letters are like horses, and the tamim nekudos, the punctuation marks and the cantillation points on the letters, are like the bit that goes in the horse's mouth and the reins that you draw with the horse. So he asks the questions, wait a second. Couldn't the Zohar find a better thing to compare the holy letters of Torah and davening than to horses? What's the Zohar trying to say? He says, that's what the Zohar is trying to say. Just like Eliyahu Hanavi went up to Shemayim in a fiery chariot with fiery horses, our davening is supposed to go up to Shemayim in a fiery chariot with fiery horses too. How do we do that? If our letters are like horses of fire, so the nekudos, the havara, the pronunciation, the nigun, the cantillation of our learning and our davening is like the bit and the reins to control the horses. If you have horses and you give them free rein, then they go wherever you want. If you want to control the horses and have the horses are like the kavana of your words. If you're going to say the words with that kavana, they're going to go wild. So you have to take your horse and you have to ride it. You have to take your horse and you have to guide it. You have to take the reins of the horse and the bit that goes in and control the horse, control the chariot so it doesn't take you astray, right? Because if we don't have kavanah in our davening, our mind will lead us astray, will lead us in places we shouldn't be thinking. And therefore, when a person wants to have kavanah in davening, he should take the reins, control his horse, and that horse won't not only will he control, that fiery horse, that fiery chariot, will take his davening straight up to Shemayim. So that's another visualization, another kavanah that we could have by davening, that our letters are horses, and that our kavanah is the reins that are controlling the horses, and the way that we speak and the niggun that we're davening with, that's the way to guide our tefillah all the way up to Shemayim. So you can see the visualizations here are unbelievable, one after the other, different types of ways for you to have kavanah, to imagine different things that are happening as you're davening, and what's happening to your siddur, what's happening to your words, and what's happening to the way that you're davening, that will excite you hopefully, and also help you concentrate on what it is that you're doing as you daven. Okay, the next letter is the Vav, that's Tehillos Hashem. Okay, that's the praises of Hashem. Kibrios kol olamos hemtilos havaya kabbalos, the creation of all the worlds. He says that's the praise of Hashem. When we're saying Pesuka Dezimra, we're cutting down. The Svarim say Pesuka Dezimra. Why they call Pesuka Dezimra? It means like pruning. When we're saying Pesuka Dezimra, we're pruning through the klipas. We're pruning through all the different thoughts and all the different things that are going to try to prevent us from davening correctly. So we prune through that garden, and then we come to the highest level, which is the letter Hey. That's kabbalos olamos Hashem. It's accepting the yoke of heaven upon us. And that is what the Zohar is saying. He says, the Zohar says that there's four different types of song. Shir Pashut, Shir Kafel, Shir Meshula, Shir Meruba. There's a simple song, a double song, a triple song, and a fourfold song. And that refers, he says, to the Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei, with the four kavanas that we just told you. That if you want to sing the song in praising Hashem, that will be to do these four things. To serve Hashem through Yiras Hashem, through Avos Hashem, Tehillos Hashem, and Kabbalos Olam Malchus Hashem. Okay, Hashem should help us that through these kavanas that we'll be zeiche to keep our minds attached to the siddur, to keep our minds attached to our davening, to turn our siddur into a burning fiery kli, to daven to Hashem, to turn it into a chariot of fire, to turn it into clouds of glory, whatever kavana we're going to use, Hashem should help that our letters will, imitz Hashem, reach Hashem with the right kavana. Amen. Ken Yerotzen.
So if I'm davening at the Kotel, do I only take two steps back? Is that,
No, you still need to get to Shara Shabbat.
Which side of the Kotel?
Shkoyach, thanks for coming.
Thank you.
If you want, I have my safer here. I don't know if anybody wants a copy.
I've heard such great things about it.
So if it's on sale.
How much is it?
Tonight I'll sell it for 70.
Shkoyach. Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming. How do we stop this? Mm-hmm.